Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Cavs, Celtics tonight. Game one, Eastern Conference semifinals. Let's head to Boston, Jeff. Let's find out the lowdown from in the know. We were looking forward to talking to him all day today. He is Chris Fedor from Cleveland.com and The Plain Dealer. And, of course, he is on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. Chris, how are you? You are right there in the center of things. How's life?
I'm doing great, guys. How are you?
We're good. A couple updates we're looking for. Jared Allen, thoughts?
Look, he's dealing with an excruciating injury. The injury actually happened, guys, in game one of the series against the Magic. He took an elbow to the rib area, and nobody thought anything of it that much. He was able to play through it. They thought it was just, you know, soreness from a physical series, something that he was going to have to deal with throughout the course of the series against the Magic. And then he took another direct hit from Franz Wagner in that same point. The way that has been described to me is that Franz Wagner pierced his rib, whatever that means, and he's in a lot of pain. And for Jarrett, it has become difficult for him to raise his arms above his head. He feels significant pain when he tries to do that. And think about all of his responsibilities on the court, rebounding the ball, getting second chance opportunities for this team, setting screens, rolling to the basket, being a lob threat, trying to block shots, contest other shots. So much of what he does requires him being able to move in a certain kind of way, to extend his arms in a certain kind of way. And I think there's just a little bit of a worry in terms of how much pain is he going to be in when he plays, how effective is he going to be if he plays, and how much can he protect himself in this state if he does play. He was on the court here with the team for shoot-around at TD Garden ahead of tonight's game one, but he's officially listed as questionable, and I think it's all just going to be dependent on how he feels and how effectiveness he believes he can be and how effective the Cavs believe he can be when he tries to test it out before the game tonight with a bunch of the members of the training staff.
Chris, you're not painting a very rosy picture of this, so it's obviously a big, big deal. Do you think he'll be able to play in Boston, game one or two, if you had to bet?
If I had to bet, I don't think he'll be available tonight against the Celtics. And even if he does play, whether it's game one, game two, game three, I just don't know how effective he can be dealing with this particular injury. I was talking to another player around the NBA who I'm very close with, who had a similar injury. And he said it took him like 2 to 3 weeks to feel like he could do the things on the court that he needed to do to be effective. Now, this is different, right? This isn't the regular season. This is the postseason. This is the Eastern Conference semifinals. And I'm told that Jarrett is doing everything that he can possibly do to make it back on the floor and try and help these guys. But I just have my doubts personally about game one tonight against the Celtics.
So they're not going to just tape an aspirin to it and throw him back out on the floor. That takes all the fun out of it.
No, it doesn't work that way.
I had so many coaches, just tape an aspirin to it, get back out. You can play. It's not a big deal. How about we saw Dean Wade just kind of getting loose. Still listed as out for tonight's game. But encouraging that we actually saw him out there, right?
Look, Dean's important to this series, potentially, for the Cavs. If you remember, he was the hero of their only regular season win against Boston. He put on a show in front of Travis Kelce where he was banging threes, he was dunking, he was playing great defense. He was the spark plug of that comeback win against the Celtics at Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse. They need his size. They need his versatility. They need his defense. They need his shooting and his spacing, especially given the fact that George Niang has given the Cavs absolutely nothing so far in the playoffs, especially in that series against the Magic. It just wasn't a good series for George from a matchup perspective. And I don't think this one is that much better of a series for George from a matchup perspective. Boston is long. Boston's athletic. Boston is quick. Boston has guys that can beat other dudes off the dribble. It's just going to be tough, I think, for George to give this team what he gave them in the regular season. So that's where Dean comes in as a depth piece, as an insurance policy. If he can be healthy and effective, I think there's a place for him in this series against the Celtics. But I think everything that I've heard when it comes to Dean is that if he does come back, it's looking more like this upcoming weekend when the series shifts to Cleveland for game 3 and 4. And a lot of this is going to be determined, guys, based on how his body responds, how his knee responds to increased activity. He went through a private workout yesterday before the team even got here to Boston to test it out. He was able to do some sideline-to-sideline running today at shoot-around. He was able to do some light shooting today at shoot-around. So a lot of these things are positive signs. But I don't think he's going to be back for either game here in Boston.
Chris Fedor joining us from Cleveland.com, covers the Cavaliers, and of course he works with us here from time to time at 92.3thefan.com. In looking at the matchups in this series, Chris, I'm looking for an edge for the Cavs. I don't know that it's in the backcourt because Drew Holiday and Derek White are really good, and I think Donovan's better than those guys, and I think Darius Garland can be, but I think that's going to be an interesting battle to watch. Mm-hmm. The Cavs don't have a wing like Jason Tatum or Jaylen Brown, but I do think, especially if Jarrett can go, there's an opportunity for the Cavs to exploit the Celtics inside. Do you think that's valid? Or especially without Kristaps Porzingis, and can the Cavs do that if Jared Allen's not in there with Evan Mobley?
I absolutely do. I do think that that is an advantageous matchup for the Cavs if Jared can be healthy and effective at some point in the series. Even if he can't be, I do think there is a slight advantage for somebody like Evan Mobley. Look, he was a game wrecker on defense in the series against Orlando, but he showed some of the limitations that he still has on the offensive end of the floor. If you think about it, in Boston's first series, Bam Adebayo was the best player for the Miami Heat. Bam was dominant in that series. It didn't matter because he didn't get enough help and because Boston is a great team, as good of a team that we have seen since the dynastic Golden State Warriors. But Bam had success against the Celtics when it came to scoring, when it came to rebounding, when it came to anchoring the defense, when it came to second chance opportunities. And I do think those things are going to present themselves to the Cavs, and it's going to be up to Mobley and Allen to take advantage of them. The only problem with that, guys, is that then it becomes a math problem. The Celtics are the best three-point shooting team in the NBA. They take and make more threes than anybody in the NBA. So if they're going to live out on the three-point line and they're going to bang in 15 to 20 threes a night in this series, somewhere in that range, the way that they did in round one against the Miami Heat, the Cavs are going to have to make some threes. They're going to have to take some threes. They're going to have to make some threes because three is greater than two. So maybe Jared Allen is going to have success inside, and maybe Evan Mobley is going to have success inside, and maybe they are going to win the paint battle. But that doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to win games in this series that way, because it can become a math problem against the Celtics, and it can become a math problem very, very quickly against the Celtics. So if the Cavs dominate the paint, that doesn't necessarily lead to success, not in this series, not against this opponent.
I know this sounds like just kind of an idiot's question, but I'm going to ask it anyways because I'm an idiot. Is there a mood to this team right now, or is this does the team kind of you're around it every day? You know what I'm talking about. Is there a hey, we have nothing to lose? Is it hey, we're playing for jobs? Is it hey, we'll see what happens? Or I don't know. Is there a mood?
The pressure of playing for jobs thing was alleviated slightly based on the fact that the Cavs won the first round series against Orlando. They were the better team. They were the favored team. They were supposed to win that series. And everything this year, coming into this year, was about taking the next step as an organization. After the flameout against the Knicks in the first round, can't have that happen again. Got to take the next step as an organization. Got to get out of the first round of the playoffs. They did that, so some of the pressure is lifted. Nobody expects them to compete with Boston. This is, from a betting perspective, the most lopsided series in the conference semifinals or beyond since 2017. That is a long time. That is how much of a favorite Boston is in this series. And they deserve that. Are you kidding me? They're great. It's one of the best teams that we've seen in the last decade, honestly. When they're full strength, man, there is not a more complete, more talented roster in the NBA. So that's what the Cavs are up against. And because of that, you know, I think the expectations are a little bit different. I think the pressure is a little bit different. I do think that the players understand that, too. Donovan Mitchell talked about it on Sunday. He said, look, nobody's picking us to beat the Celtics. Everybody thinks we're going to get our ass kicked against this team. And he's right. I can't find anybody that has picked the Cavs to win this series. I don't think I've found anybody that has picked this thing to go beyond six games. So because of that, I think the organization can look back on this season, no matter what happens here against the Celtics, as a success. In saying that, there's tons of motivation to prove people wrong here. There's tons of, okay, we're going to do everything that we can do to shut up the naysayers and stuff like that. But I think the smart people within the organization understand the challenge ahead of this team against this particular juggernaut.
What do they do with Jason Tatum?
Well, look, I think Evan Mobley is somebody who theoretically can handle that kind of matchup. I also think Dean Wade theoretically is somebody who can handle that kind of matchup. And that doesn't mean shut him down. He is an elite player. He's an MVP candidate. But in terms of making it difficult on him, I think stylistically those two guys can do that. The problem is going into the series, if Jared is not ready at the beginning of this series, then Evan Mobley is going to be preoccupied with whoever it's going to be that's starting for Porzingis, Al Horford maybe. So I just think that it's probably if Jared's not ready, I think that assignment first and foremost goes to Isaac Okoro. And you hope that Isaac Okoro, the guy that you have been saying deserves a spot on one of the all-defensive teams, can bother Tatum in a way that, at times, Isaac was able to bother Paolo Banchero in the previous series. That's why you have a guy like Isaac, right? That's why he's probably going to get a 12 to 15, maybe north of $15 million contract annually, because he's that caliber defender. We understand the limitations that he has offensively. But if you're going to put him in the starting lineup because you don't have Jared Allen, then you're doing that to give him that assignment. And then it's going to be up to the other individual defenders on the Cavs to hang with Jaylen Brown and Derek White and Drew Holiday. And that's one of the things that makes Boston so difficult and dynamic, guys. In that first round playoff series against the Heat, Jason Tatum didn't have to be spectacular. Jason Tatum didn't have to do for his team what Donovan had to do for his team, because Boston had three guys in round one average at least 20 points per game. Tatum did it, Jaylen Brown did it, and Derek White did it. So they're coming at you with multiple guys that are three-level scorers, and the Cavs defense is going to have its hands full. And the defense has been great for the Cavs in this playoff run so far, but that was against offensively challenged Orlando, who went into the playoffs with the worst offense of any team that made the playoffs. This is the best offense in the NBA that the Cavs are going to be dealing with, and it goes way beyond Jason Tatum.
Chris, I'm going to come back to the game in a second. I just want to ask you a bigger picture, because I know Jeff and I want to talk about this a little bit later. Last night, Jamal Murray, Denver had a bad night against the Timberwolves. He decided he was going to take a heat pack and throw it on the floor during gameplay.
And then a towel.
And then a towel. Yep. What, like, what do you think is going to happen there?
That's got to be a suspension, or that's got to be a fine, or it's got to be both. That was a dangerous play. That was an unacceptable play. That's not something that the NBA can allow to happen. And I totally get it. It's the middle of a playoff series. It's about to shift to game three in Minnesota. You don't want to put, you know, Denver at a decided detriment because they're not going to be able to have somebody the caliber of Jamal Murray, who's so important to them. But at some point, like, you can't allow those kinds of things to continue. And if it's just some kind of slap on the wrist, if that's the precedent that you set for something that I don't think I've ever seen anything like that in an NBA game.
No.
If that's the precedent that you set, that's a dangerous one. So I think the NBA needs to come down really, really hard on him.
I agree with you on that. If he plays in game three, shame on the NBA.
Right. Completely agree.
Yep. You shouldn't do that. If you're J.B. Bickerstaff going into this game, are you thinking, let's pound it to Evan? Are you thinking, Donovan, good luck, we need 45? I mean, obviously the Cavs, you know, can compete with the Boston Celtics. There's no question about that. But I just wonder which way J.B. goes in his thinking on this.
No team is built the same, but I think it's pretty clear that the best way that you beat the Celtics, or the teams that have had the most success against the Celtics in past years, are the teams that go bananas from three-point range. When Miami got one game from the Celtics in round one, they did it with a three-point shooting exhibition. They made 23 as a team. It's going to require the Cavs taking 40 to 45 threes a night. It's going to require the Cavs making a handful of those. It's going to require Max Strus getting hot, Darius Garland getting hot, Donovan Mitchell getting hot. That, to me, is the best formula for success for the Cavs. And I totally understand that at some point you just have to be you, and you have to capitalize on mismatches, and you have to take advantage of certain situations in front of you. But I think if the Cavs continue to just plop the ball down low to Evan or Jarrett or whoever it is, or if they have a bunch of drivers that are going to attack in one-on-one isolation situations and finish whirling layups at the rim the way that, you know, Donovan and Darius did at various points in the series against the Magic, I think to some degree you're playing into the Celtics' hands. And I think to some degree they're going to take a similar approach that Orlando took. And it's like, if we sacrifice the paint slightly, if we give up driving lanes slightly, that's fine, but we're staying attached to these shooters. We are not leaving these guys on the perimeter. We're going to make it as difficult on the others as possible, because we don't think Darius and Donovan together can outscore us as a full team. And it's going to require, at times, the Cavs to do some creative things offensively. I think it's going to require the Cavs, at times, to change up their lineups and their rotations and maybe use some four-shooter lineups. Heck, try some five-shooter lineups, things like that. This is a different kind of beast that the Cavs are going up against, and I just don't think there are easy, simple answers for solving their defensive dynamic in terms of switch everything. And I don't think there are easy, simple answers for the Cavs on the other end to contain the Celtics as well. So I just think they're going to have to get extremely creative. And to me, that means a lot of movement off the ball. And that means hoist as many threes that you can within reason to see if you can get that math equation a little bit more toward your favor.
Interesting, interesting, interesting. Chris, thank you so much.
Thanks, buddy.
Of course, we'll be following everything you write and everything you say coming out of Boston. Thanks, Chris.
You got it, guys.
All right, we'll talk to you soon. Chris Feeder, plaindealercleveland.com. Time now for 2020 with Andrew Hody.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
.923 The Fan is looking for a winner. Enter the word ROCK. R-O-C-K. ROCK. At 923thefan.com by 2 o'clock for your chance to win a four-pack of combo meals from Mr. Hero. You can check out the two new buds just added to the menu, the Rockin' Reuben and the Breaded Pork. Plus, download the Mr. Hero mobile app to earn loyalty points, coupons, a whole lot more. Earn all that. ROCK at 923thefan.com by 2 o'clock. Your chance to win a four-pack of combo meals from Mr. Hero.
He's Jeff Phelps. I'm Andy Baskin. Chris Fedor from Cleveland.com. And the Plain Dealer just joined us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. Talked about a number of things. Got some updates on Jared Allen. Talked about the pain that he's in. Jeff, when you hear rib injury.
He didn't paint a rosy picture.
He didn't. And I'll be honest. When I heard rib injury in the beginning, I'm like, well, what does that mean?
Bruised or what?
He made it sound like they were like almost broken. Or
sounded a lot worse than you got a shot to the ribs and they're bruised.
Yeah, they were almost like changed the actual structural makeup of his ribs. This is the way he made it sound. And that, you know, when we're talking about, like, I would think in most cases we don't think about rib injuries being that way, especially because I think when we think about rib injuries, Jeff, we think about quarterbacks, right? Flap jackets. That's the place that my mind kind of takes me to when I think about somebody with a rib. Maybe
running back, getting
hit with a baseball in the ribs is never fun, right? I mean, those are the kind of things. And so I always think it was interesting in the beginning to hear that, you know, he was missing play because of a rib injury. And I was kind of like, wow, this has got to be more. And after listening to Chris, it definitely sounds like it.
Yeah.
And then the other thing was Dean Wade just, you know, getting stretched out. But he also said, hey, man, Wade might be a guy that the Cavaliers need maybe towards a couple games into this series. And the fact that even he was doing a light jog from sideline to sideline on the court today, that's a positive thing.
The one thing that Chris talked about I thought was really interesting, because I don't know if the Cavs can do what Chris thinks they need to do to maybe win this series.
I was shocked at what Chris said at the very end. Here's what he said. And Chris just said that. If you missed any interview, go to odyssey.com or you can check it out at 923thefan.com. But, Jeff, I just like the picture he paints, and I'm not in shock about what he said because I agree with what he's saying. I agree with Chris. Yeah, but they're going to need something a little bit more, right? They're going to need something special to be able to beat Boston. And I don't disagree with anything he said. What I was shocked over was the thought of JB Bickerstaff doing that. I just don't see JB doing that. That's me.
Doing what?
Calling for what he's calling for.
Trying to have him jack up threes?
Yes. Endless. I could see them shooting endless amounts of threes.
I could see that.
11.5 point spread tonight. If they do that, they could lose by 30 or 40.
Here's the problem, though, with what Chris said, and it's not with Chris's comment. It's the problem the Cavs might have with that strategy. They're not a real good three-point shooting team. I mean, that's the deal. And if you think they are a good three-point shooting team, you're trying to convince yourself that they are.
Yeah, I don't see it. Now, I did think part of that
regular season they were middle of the road, Andy. In the first round of the playoffs, they were second to last and made under 29% of their threes. That doesn't scream to me, and Chris might be exactly on the money, but it doesn't scream to me that will work. You know, I wouldn't be the least bit surprised if the Cavs went and did that. But Donovan Mitchell, first round against Orlando, 25% on threes. Evan Mobley, better, 27%. Max Strus, 32. Caris LeVert, 24. Isaac Okoro, 24. Marcus Morris, 21. Sam Merrill, 50, but he didn't take very many. George Niang, brought here to hit threes, 13%. So nobody shot it well from behind the line. Darius Garland was at 40.
Darius
and Sam Merrill, that they were it. Doesn't mean they can't. Somebody else can't get hot this series.
I don't. Maybe Merrill had a little bit of spark of that in Game 7. I could see LeVert.
Are you going to have to play him?
Yeah, you're going to have to play
exactly.
him.
Exactly.
But that goes back to what Chris said about using, you know, four or five shooters on the floor. If you're going to use four or five shooters, is he in that world? I would think so.
I would think.
I would think he's in that world. I mean, Merrill had 11 minutes in the last game, 6 points, 8 points.
He only played more than 11 minutes in one game.
Yeah. Did maybe he find something there that he can trust? I'm not saying that he couldn't trust him during the regular season, but
Sam can shoot threes.
I know, but he didn't trust him in the beginning of the series. And finally, in Game 7,
I don't know if that's the right word.
If you don't put him on the floor, you don't trust him. I've always been a firm believer in that.
I'm a firm believer in you didn't put him on the floor because you had other people who you thought would give you a better chance to win.
Meaning you trusted them more than you trusted him?
It's not a matter of trust.
Sure, from a coaching standpoint, that's totally trust.
If you're a player and you're on the team, you've got to go with what the coach thinks will help you win that game. And you have to not think that the coach doesn't trust you. Andy, I'm not trying to be argumentative.
Right.
I really don't think it's trust. If it's a guy that a coach will put into the game, then I think he does trust him. But in that situation, you'd rather go with Donovan and Darius and Karras.
This goes back
or Max Strus. Okay. Whatever.
Matchup
wise.
This goes back to in-game adjustments, right? And the thought
or game planning.
But I don't know how you can plan for thinking that Max Strus is going to miss three-pointers, right? Or what's your threshold for saying, I need him to hit three, four. You know, if he's going to take six shots, I need at least four of those to go in to be able to say it. Like, because you get to the point of where if you don't think it's working, you got to go in a different direction. I don't know. You heard what he had to say about what kind of a game plan the Cavaliers could be using to get to where they need to go to tonight. That's what you heard. Do you agree? 216-474-0092. 216-474-0092. That is the number to chime in.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Did Mike Hall Jr. wind up in the best situation in all of Ohio State draft pick history there? Nick Wilson, Spencer German answer that question, and they cover the major college football headlines, all in the Sons of the Shoe podcast. You can subscribe now at 923thefan.com on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. Mike Hall Jr., Streetsboro, Garfieldites, right in the middle of that Browns defensive line.
Benedict.
Best Ohio draft choice ever for Ohio State, Andy. Perfect situation. At least that might be what Nick and Spencer say. You might have to
There's
tune in
no
to
way
find
they're
out.
Saying that. There's no way they're saying that. In Ohio State history.
Oh, maybe just of this year.
In the history of the second round.
I'm just saying. Maybe I threw in the word history by mistake.
Oh, that's okay. I thought it was scripted that way. I would not have put the scripting past that. 216-474-0092. Big hour coming up. Danny Green, former Cavalier, Odyssey Sports NBA insider, joins us at 1. Tony Khan, AEW Dynamite Wednesday night, chief football strategy officer for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Family owns the team. Right?
Dad owns the team. He's one of the head honchos.
How often does that happen? That's awesome. That's awesome. Very excited. Looking
I'm
forward
proud
to
of my dad owning a carpet business.
Yes.
I would have been more proud had he owned an NFL team. Well, I shouldn't say that. Wouldn't have been more proud. Sure would have worked out better for me.
I was about to get on my soapbox here for a second. I won't do that. All right. Let's talk Cavaliers. And just a really interesting conversation with Chris Fedor and what he said about how the Cavaliers need to just approach things, you know, with no paradigms on this, like ready to roll in any direction,
man,
and forgetting about anything
paradigms.
You would think.
Paradigms.
10-cent words are coming out of all of us.
Dang,
I don't
man.
Like it.
Wow, you don't like that word?
No, that's impressive.
We've become
impressed?
Really smart on this show. And it
really?
Just,
look at you.
It ain't don't gun feel right.
I'll be honest. I learned that in Columbus. I was out of school before I started really thinking about paradigms and how they affect you in business and
that's
things
really
like
good.
That.
Nice job.
Yeah, we had a general manager that showed us, you know, getting thrown to the lions in a video saying, this is how things are going to get changed around here. I think he lasted about 3 weeks. 216-474-0092. That is the number to call. Let's go back to what Fedor had to say. Do you agree with that? And, you know, just your thoughts as we walk into this game number one tonight. Jeff and I, you know, we talked about it at the beginning of the show. Like, this is a tremendous mountain for the Cavaliers to climb. Let's see what they can do. And we do think, both of us agree on this, that if they're going to get a game on the road, which they didn't do against Orlando, tonight is the night.
Yeah.
Are you changing your mind on
that? No,
now?
I think I always think it's a good opportunity for the road team in game one of a playoff series. I do. I was giving thought to when you said that, I was giving thought to what Chris said about the Cavs having to hit threes. And then I thought, all right, so who can do that on the team and who are they matched up against? And every Cav who you think might hit threes is matched up against somebody who's taller than they are.
Got to step back three.
Well, you're gonna have to get some space. You know, I mean, Drew Holiday's 6'4". He's on 6'1". Darius Garland, perhaps. Okay, that's Donovan's 6'2", supposedly 6'3", supposedly. He's going to be up against 6'4", 6'5", Derek White. at times. Max Strus is 6'4". He'll have 6'6 Jaylen Brown on him or 6'8 Jason Tatum. They're going to have to create some space to hit some threes.
Got to keep the ball moving. Joe's in D.C. Hey, Joe.
Joe. How you guys doing, man?
Good. How are you?
I'm all right. I just wanted to speak on the Jared Allen rib injury.
Yeah.
I got hurt on my job.
Joe, we lost you. Sorry about that. He got hurt on his job. He was going to tell us about an injury. If you get a chance, call us back. We've all had rib injuries, I think. Have you ever had a rib injury?
Nothing drastic.
I don't know. All I know is that when I was in fourth grade, a kid decided to take a putter at putt-putt and take a full baseball swing into my back. That's my only rib injury.
Well, putt-putt's a contact sport. You should have been expecting it.
It was. Well, he was being mean to me, so I kind of shooed him away with my putter, maybe touched his calf, and then he waited until I turned around to go putt. Boom, full baseball swing with his. Down. Hurt.
But it broke the putter.
Probably did. Mm-hmm. If it would have hit my skull, it would have disintegrated. I'm going to give this another shot. Mike is in Rocky River. Hi, Mike. How are you?
Good, guys. How are we doing?
Good. Mike. How are you?
Doing good. I want to dive back into Jared Allen being out, assuming he's not playing, judging by the punctured cartilage and the rib conversation we're having. I mean, Mobley's having a hard time in the paint as a five. I think we got to make some adjustments to get him back into four. I mean, I'm watching game 7 on Sunday, and you're watching Tristan Thompson be active, have energy. I mean, I'm thinking putting him in the five, getting Mobley out to the four to stretch the floor, shoot the threes. I think we need to give him some help on the inside to get a little tougher there.
Mike, do we really want him shooting threes? Jeff and I talk about
Tristan?
This. He didn't take any 3-point shots in the last game. Mobley.
Mobley. Yeah, okay. I mean, Jeff just shot the percentages out of everybody else shooting threes.
Yeah.
No one else is making them. And he can supply that weak side defensive pressure, you know, blocking some shots. We need that length. You just talked about the height differential between every single position. I mean, we just got to get tougher. I'm seeing Magic shoot the ball, and it's Tristan, three shooting guards and a point guard on the floor trying to get a rebound. I mean, we just got to get tougher inside, I think, and that's where we always end up losing is that toughness battle inside.
Fair enough, Mike. Thank you. The other thing that I talked about yesterday was, and we really didn't have a chance to talk about this, was how many times you watch Cavaliers take the ball to the hole, end up on the other side of the basket or end up on the floor after having to make an unbelievable athletic move to try to get the ball to the hoop, and they end up falling down or they end up behind the play on the inbounds pass. And I thought Orlando did a great job of pressing the ball back down the floor when you knew it was going to be 5-on-4 on the other side. I thought they did a fantastic job of that. And so, that's just another little thing that, like, when you watch the Cavaliers, you say, well, man, do we got to play 5-on-4 on defense every time?
One thing that Mike said, though, that I think is interesting, maybe Tristan plays a bigger role in this series.
Maybe.
What does that do? He'd be against Al Horford. Well, Al's 37. And it's not like Tristan's going to lose a lot athletically to Al Horford. Al goes out on the floor, though. Tristan would have to go out on the floor a little bit. But what does that do? That frees Evan Mobley up to play D on Jason Tatum, who Chris said that might be a good matchup defensively for the Cavs if Evan can be out there on Jason Tatum. And just be one of the guys that they throw at Jason. You're going to have team defense on him.
Right.
But that gives you an option that's a little different than putting Isaac Okoro in the starting lineup and going with the four smaller guys against the Boston four smaller guys. But keep in mind, the four smaller guys for Boston, each one of them has a height advantage on the Cavs, if I'm not mistaken, between Holiday and White and Tatum and Brown.
So with Allen out, though, the thought, and I'll be honest with you, I hadn't thought a whole lot about Tristan. But I don't mind that idea. I don't know. Were you kicking? It makes
sense.
Everything you said
it.
Just made sense.
You're going to need him. I think, Andy.
You think we'll see that?
I don't know. I'm sure at times. Let's put it this way. I wouldn't mind seeing Tristan get some run tonight. Don't ask me how many minutes. Between 15 and 20. Because I'd rather find out now if that can be something that can really help us in this series if Jarrett can't go than wait until game 3 or 4 and then throw him out there. And
then
think,
it feels
well,
like a desperation.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm with you. Andy's in North Olmsted. Hi, Andy.
Jeffrey, Andy, how's it going, you two?
Good. How are
Hi,
you?
Andy.
Hey, we just experienced the two most important words in professional sports, game 7. And my way to sum up in two words this upcoming series for the Cavs moving forward, litmus test. What do you guys think about that one?
Meaning what? Now you're going to find out what you're made of?
No, yeah. I mean, as far as, so how do we really compare? How close are we to becoming a championship-level team?
Yeah, I think you might see that against Boston. You know, I'm not big on that. You know, I don't think you're ready to be a championship-level team, but that doesn't mean you can't knock off Boston and give it the best shot. I mean, seriously, you get past Boston, do you think you can beat New York? Can you beat Indy? Maybe.
Danny Green, former Cavalier, Odyssey Sports Insider, next right here, Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.